When you were a child and you were with your friends and you did something wrong, when you got caught, was your first defense to your parents, "Well, Tommy was doing it"? And if you did use one of those type of excuses, did your parents say to you, "Well, if Tommy jumped off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge too?" This seems to be Donald Trump's response to being charged with 37 different counts, including charges against the Espionage Act. Now, it may be true that the rule of law is not equally applied, but that should not be where you begin your defense. We have that story. We got a bridge that has collapsed in Philadelphia yesterday and much more coming straight up. So sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Emboldened.
Great, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. As always, I am your host, Greg Bolden, here on the America Out Loud Network. If you want to go to www.americaoutloud.com, you can check out all the work by my colleagues. You can also check out the America Out Loud Talk Radio, 24/7 talk radio shows that later become podcasts. Mine, of course, is Straight the Podcast. You can feature that right on the Apple iTunes podcast store or anywhere that you'd like to get your podcast. If you'd like to leave a review, I'd appreciate that. That helps my show continue to grow and the network perform well. All right, let's get straight into it. It is Monday and there's a lot of stuff that's happening. Let's get straight into Donald Trump to start things off. Now, last week on Friday, we announced on the show that Donald Trump had been indicted late Thursday, that they had a number of counts that were going to be going against him in regards to the Espionage Act and him refusing to give over classified documents. So let's start off first to help people understand, what is the Espionage Act? So when somebody says, you know, the Espionage Act, what exactly are we getting at? Well, if you remember, I did an episode about 2 months ago about how Woodrow Wilson was my least favorite president out of all the presidents. Well, yep, we can go back to the Espionage Act of 1917. It's a federal law that was enacted during Woodrow Wilson at a time of war, and it was amended numerous times since then. It was originally part of Title 50 of the U.S. Code for War and National Defense, but now it's under Title 18, which is Crime and Criminal Procedures. And the idea was, it was meant to stop any type of interference from military operations or recruitment, stop people from being insubordinate to the military, or supporting our enemies during wartime. Only during wartime. That was the only time that this was to apply. And then in 1919, the Supreme Court had a case, Schenck versus the United States, and they ruled that the act did not violate your freedom of speech because it could be endangering other individuals. Now, it has been contested in courts ever since 1919, and I have a feeling we might see it contested again moving on. Some of the prominent names of people that this has been used against, like Chelsea Manning was later pardoned, I guess, so to speak, or charges were dropped. Julian Assange, who is currently still fighting extradition for his WikiLeaks information, and Edward Snowden, who's now over in Russia, who I believe both Julian Assange and Edward Snowden should both be completely pardoned and said thank you for publishing this information as brave whistleblowers to the American public. Look, if our country is doing really bad, stupid stuff, and it gets out there because of a whistleblower, this is the case for Snowden and Assange. We'll get to Trump in a second. I have no problem whatsoever with people blowing the whistle to let us know that we ourselves are having our constitutional rights violated. The only people that don't have a problem with that are the people that seem to hate our country. And there seems to be plenty of people that hate our country right now. Because, let's just face it, we care more about people's feelings right now than the pride of our country, the pride of our constitution, and the people that died for it. But that does not excuse President Donald Trump whatsoever in what he has done, because it is likely that Donald Trump will at least be found guilty of some of these charges and see possibly some jail time here in the immediate future. And no, I'm not, I believe, overemphasizing this case whatsoever. I believe that if you're paying attention to the charges that are out there, that this seems like the most common thing that will happen. So why? Why is this Trump going to face these problems? Well, he's got 37 criminal counts right now, 31 of which are about top secret classified documents. He was charged with obstructing justice, conspiracy, concealment, and false statements, lying about where these documents were. Let's make it very clear. The problem is not the president having classified documents from their time in office. The problem is about where it's stored. But let's also be honest. If you're not on the side that can think logically about issues affecting Donald Trump, let me help you for a brief moment. Every single president has taken classified documents, which was their right to do and to hold on to, for as long as they wish to. That is not a crime under what they're being charged with. Bush has done it. Obama did it. Clinton did it. Trump has done it. The crime here, and Biden did it as a vice president. He wasn't even president. And actually, he's the one that has probably the biggest legal trouble. But we'll get into that in a few minutes. Do we apply the rule of law equally to Donald Trump? And do we apply it equally to all the other presidents? My gut tells me the answer is no. That stated, that does not mean that Donald Trump did not do anything wrong. All right, so there you can have two things here. So if you're conservative here, getting angry about the fact that I'm telling you that Donald Trump may go to jail or they might have done something wrong, you can't immediately say, yeah, but Tommy was going to jump off the bridge too. Because I can acknowledge the fact that the rule of law may not be applied equally. But the difference here is, did any of these other presidents have people ask them for documents and then they decided they were going to get in the way of those documents being collected? If those presidents did that, then likely they would be just as guilty as Donald Trump would be. Now, there's been propaganda coming out on the news about Donald Trump. You've probably seen these banker's boxes, and there's literally hundreds of them all over Mar-a-Lago. This is actually a really crappy thing for the news media to do right now. I'm going to explain why. When you go through the charges, they acknowledge that there were about 13,000 government records at Mar-a-Lago. And certainly that would look like all those boxes. However, only 100 of them were marked as secret or top secret. Likely could have fit those classified documents into one single box, period. That's it. So when you look at all those boxes, almost every single one of those boxes, almost every single one of those documents, all right, less than 0.01% were top secret or marked as a secret document. In light of all that, there are an additional 237 documents that were improperly retained according to the charges. All right, so a total of 337 documents out of over 13,000 are what we're talking about here. So let's be honest in the way that we're reporting this. The way that we're reporting this shows that there's these boxes upon boxes and room after room, but that is a bunch of BS because we don't know where these specific files were held. In addition to that, Donald Trump has the right to take any of his presidential notes, any of the things that he believes that were part of his personal collection, home with him. He has that right. So there's nothing wrong whatsoever with a president, whether it's Bush, Clinton, whether it's Biden in the future, Trump, they can all do this, Obama as well. Now, here's the issue. The Espionage Act does not explicitly require prosecutors to prove that records were classified. And so right now, Trump is unable and his attorneys to prove that he has declassified these 337 records, or I'm sorry, these 100 records, 237 are sensitive that have not been able to be taken. But he has not given any type of information. Now, he has stated, I'm the president, simply by saying that is declassified to anybody, then it's declassified. He may win that in court. I think that that is a very weak defense. I don't think that that's going to stand. So they have charged Donald Trump with violating the section of the Espionage Act that applies to unauthorized possession of national defense information. Now, this crime could be because he had nuclear secrets. It could be because he had defense plans as far as our attack plans would have been in certain countries or how we would defend ourselves. But prosecutors don't need to show that Trump knew that he had that, but whether or not a reasonable person would have known that that's what it was. That's what they're going to put out in front of the courts. Now, the U.S. National Archives and Records Administration reached out to Trump repeatedly for these missing records. And when he finally agreed to, there were 15 boxes a year after leaving the White House. They were marked as classified. But the boxes did not have all of the records in there, which is why the Justice Department eventually got involved in all of this, because the U.S. National Archives, they were going, we don't have everything that we asked for. So the government now will be putting this lawsuit against Trump, and the defense will have to be, well, I didn't know what was in the boxes. But then if you have anybody willing to testify that Trump was talking to them about what's in the boxes, that would certainly go against that. So this is likely, I mean, we've never had a president that was ever accused of this ever before. I mean, Nixon might have been kind of like the closest thing to being, put out in front of everybody that I can think of in modern times. But the fact that this is happening while he is running for president, while he is once removed from the former president, now we can ask another question. Is there equal law being applied in all of this? Joe Biden, I did an episode months ago, in his garage behind his Corvette, we found classified documents. In addition to that, Hunter Biden's apartment had classified documents. This Penn State office had classified documents. These were all from his time as vice president, not as president. Where's the prosecution against Joe Biden? And that's not me saying, oh, but Tommy's going to jump off the bridge, so why shouldn't I? That's me simply stating, have we weaponized the Department of Justice against the president? Or will we find out during this court case that there are some really heinous conversations going on from Donald Trump to other people that were making us less secure? And if that's the case, aren't we sure that there wasn't the same problem with Joe Biden's files? Why do we just accept and take it for it? I can tell you why. Because the left is morally bankrupt. The people on the left believe that their crap doesn't stink. They believe that when their crap goes into the sewer, it makes the sewer smell better. They don't believe that their candidate, their idol, their god, Joe Biden, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, whichever person may be the left's fetish at the time, is capable of doing something bad. I'm telling you, it is very, very likely that we will see Donald Trump at least get 5 to 10 years of prison time. Now, whether or not they follow through with the prison time, that's likely what we're going to see him get charged with. Very likely. I would be shocked if that doesn't happen. But that should not excuse then Clinton, Bush, and Obama and Biden from the exact same prosecution. There should be an investigation then into their classified materials that they had completely unsecured. Or Hillary Clinton, who had classified materials through illegal email servers, Blackberries, all things that were getting completely demolished by baseball bats. Fact check that one left if you don't like it. The truth of the matter is, yeah, but her emails. Yeah, well, but Mar-a-Lago. Sure, but the Corvette garage. But Hunter Biden's apartment. But Hawaii's Obama estate. But the Clinton compound. all of this stuff are absolutely 100% accurate criticism. So if we're going to have equal application of the law, then by all means, let's move this forward. Otherwise, this is nothing more than a banana republic attacking a presidential candidate and figuring out what they want to weaponize at the time. Now, the only way I'll change that statement is if we find out that Trump was selling secrets to foreign governments and that there's evidence in all of this. It's simply these documents were sitting down in Mar-a-Lago. I'm really not that upset about that at all. This is Biden, Nancy Pelosi, all these people that have said, oh, we'll make sure that he can never run again. This is that exactly happening. Until I see evidence otherwise, this is exactly that. This is the left's Hunter Biden's laptop. That's exactly what it is. And I'm so sick and tired of the left at this point in time. I really am. I came starting this show trying to really be like the libertarian in the room that was trying to bring the left and the right together on issues. But I got to be 100% correct. The left is so screwed up right now in decorum and figuring out tradition and figuring out where things should be. And they've gotten so far out there that I'm still considering myself more libertarian, but I'm not considering myself the socially liberal side that goes with the progressive left anymore. I don't even recognize the Democrat of 2023. The Democrat of 1996, Democrat of 2000, I at least recognized and I could have sympathy with, and I could understand and I could identify a little bit with them. I no longer identify whatsoever with this party. And it has nothing to do with me supporting Donald Trump, and has everything to do with me saying these people have absolutely no logical basis in their thinking. They are puppets. They're shills for big media. That's all they are. They're people that repeat headlines without doing any critical thinking on their own. And it's absolutely disgusting. I don't like it. That all stated, there's people on the right that are just as evil. And I get why there's criticism against Republicans nowadays. 100% understand it. There is true criticism there. I guess that's why my show exists. My show exists to point out the fact that both the right and the left can't be trusted. There are very, very little people in public service that you can trust their voices. And you sure as hell can't trust Big Pharma to look after your health. You can't trust any of these corporations that are owned by like the same three companies in the entire world. George Soros' son's going to join that pretty soon. You can't trust any of these people. So that's why my voice is necessary. That's why I need to do these type of shows. I'll be right back. We're going to talk about I-95 and what an absolute travesty it is that our entire infrastructure is falling apart. Really is. I mean, this is just a tragic accident, I hope. Although we haven't found the driver, but I'll fill you in on that on the flip side of the show. All right, everybody, you're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
Well, the Out Loud Truth was the rallying call that started it all. A wide spectrum of programming from world and political news to societal, your health, and cultural stories. 7 amazing years of news stories, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Welcome back, bold Americans. Second half of the show, let's get straight into it. Have you heard about what happened in Philadelphia, Northeast Philadelphia? There was a tanker of some sorts that was going underneath I-95. When it was caught on fire or exploded, we really don't know what happened, but a tanker burned, collapsing the northbound lanes of I-95 and damaging the southbound lanes. Now, this apparently was called in around 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, and at some time briefly after it started buckling, there's video of people driving over that part of the road with it already buckling. Thank God they made it over safely. But it's right near the Tacony section of the city in Cottman Avenue. If anyone's living on the East Coast, they're familiar with that entire area. But this thing completely just pancaked down underneath on top of the road. And so as a result, one of the major arteries are completely cut off from the northeast section of Philadelphia going up to Trenton, New Jersey, into the city without having to get off and take really costly and expensive routes of wasting gasoline through traffic and the city. Now, the sources are reporting that it was 87 octane fuel, up to 8,500 gallons of it at the time of the fire. And from what I understand, they were able to contact through the NTSB the owner of the tanker that either caught fire or exploded, whatever. They were able to get in touch. But guess what? They have not found the driver. Now, this could be tragic. The driver could be in the truck, could be underneath the rubble, could have burned to death. It's very possible. Or the driver could have intentionally put the truck underneath the roadway and caused the explosion somehow, shape or form. And that could be the cause of this as well. If you wanted to cripple the entire Northeast, one of the best ways to do so is to take out I-95 bridges. You want to isolate a city really quick, take out the bridges into and out of the city. Now, this is not a section where really I would suspect that this is in any way, shape, or form terrorism. I'm going to put that out there right now. That simply me saying that, if you think that that's kind of dangerous, me saying, I'm just stating they don't know where the driver is, and all options are on the table. The NTSB is actually investigating this right now to make sure that it wasn't a terroristic act that is going on. Maybe by the time you're listening to the show, there's going to be a little bit more information. But while I'm recording this, that is the story. They're trying to get down to it. Now, during that time, there were some loud pops people heard that were a little bit louder than gunshots. It sounded like fireworks. And there was a smell of burning plastic that was mixed in with basically fumes that they smelled almost like gas. And as a result, this stuff all ran into the sewer system, and the manhole covers started exploding into the sky. So they had to evacuate the entire area. There's currently thousands of tons of steel and concrete on top of where the tanker was underneath the roadway. So it will take some time, I think, for them to figure out whether or not the driver was in the vehicle or off to the side of the vehicle when this all collapsed. If it's the case that the driver was there, certainly, my heart goes out to the family. Hopefully the person who was driving lived. If that person lived, where did they go? Did they freak out? Did they go running? Why would they run? That's going to bring up a ton of questions as well. But what I wanted to get to is, where would we be concerned? Now, there is a bridge. It's a double-decker bridge that goes into Philadelphia from the Delaware area, come up south, right by the Philadelphia International Airport. I've always said, if something happens to that bridge, I'd assume that it's a terroristic attack. And the reason I'd assume that is because at that point in time, you would cut off all tractor-trailer food supply in any way, shape, or form that didn't take time. I mean, that is like the main artery right there that gets food up and down the East Coast and where it's supposed to be in different deliveries. It's so vital and important. And then New Jersey obviously has their own roadways. Delaware Memorial Bridge, so many people cut over right there coming up from D.C. and going from New York back and forth, and they take the turnpike on up. And so the Delaware Memorial Bridge is a very important bridgeway as well, with quick access up and down the northeast extension, basically, of the Mid-Atlantic region. So I don't think that this was something that was terroristic. I think this is something that's absolutely tragic. but it's going to be something of major inconvenience to the entire Northeast Philadelphia region. If you live somewhere between Princeton, New Jersey, all the way down to Delaware, and you need to travel back and forth through the Philadelphia region, this is an absolute nightmare. Now, I've looked into how long these type of things take to fix. It's about 3 to 6 months when you can get the government behind doing things. So Pete Buttigieg, what are you going to do? Are you going to get your fastest team to get the steel reconstruction? Will you get that road opened within 3 months? Will it take 6 months? I know some people are saying, well, probably a year to 2 years. I don't think it's going to take that long. When we have a single focus, we have a roadway as important as I-95 to the financial stability of the economy, it will get fixed rather quickly. That stated, we have an infrastructure problem in this country. We just made major cuts across the board to bring the debt ceiling up higher. Where is the infrastructure? Where's the people that are going to pour money into these roadways that need it at this point in time? I don't see that happening. Now, the last time this happened, I remember, was when I was in high school. In the Philadelphia region, there was like a tire fire and the roadway started buckling, but it did not, from what I remember, it did not fail. And they had to rebuild that section. What they did was they moved traffic over to the other lanes. The problem is the southbound lanes also took fire damage. So I'm sure they're going to have to make sure that that is safe for people to drive over repeatedly without that failing. My guess, they'll replace the northbound and southbound side, or they'll work on the southbound first, make sure that it's 100% good, reroute traffic to like a lane and a lane on either side, and then rebuild the northbound bridge and then merge the two back together at the end. But they'll probably be able to get some limited traffic across the southbound lanes going both directions eventually. Until then, they'll be rerouting up to the New Jersey side or through the neighborhoods of Northeast Philadelphia. So bad news there. But what is it about trains derailing? What is it about bridges collapsing, roadways failing? You know, our infrastructure is miserable throughout this entire country. And I don't see it improving. I mean, Joe Biden ran on improving our infrastructure. Where the hell are the improvements? Barack Obama started that. I don't see the improvements. And you can't say that the Republicans have blocked all of the improvements, because look at the cities and who runs them. It's all Democrats that are running some of our worst infrastructure sections, right? So we got some major issues right now. It doesn't matter what your political ideology is, but I would say the Democrats are all talk and not enough action when it comes to all of this. And now's time for action before we have other roadways that are failing. Hopefully, again, we don't have tankers parked underneath them for this type of stuff to happen. But that is my concern moving forward. Now, last week, I got a little upset on Friday. There was a thing that came out from the White House sending a mandate for face masks again for social distancing for the unvaccinated at their college athlete day. Good news. Good news is that was apparently sent out in error. They did not mean to send that. It was an old document that got attached to all that. So the White House is not bringing back face masks. And this is great. And it's great because the studies that are now out there, when they dug into the findings, there were 78 randomized controlled trials to find out if face masks and hand washing lessened the spread of COVID-19. And the conclusions all completely undercut the left's scientific talk points about masking. It was definitive. It said there is just no evidence that they make any difference. Full stop. That was from Tom Jefferson, the study's lead author, when he was interviewed. They asked about fitted N95 mask in healthcare settings, and he said, it makes no difference. None of it. Now, this has all been told to me by leading HVAC technicians the entire time, that the microcrons of COVID meant that the masks were simply to make us feel better. It had nothing to do with keeping us healthy. Outside of maybe your hands didn't touch your lips, and as a reaction to that, maybe you weren't ingesting any viral material and you were staying healthier there. Because most of us touch surfaces, touch our face, and that's where most of the stuff goes. So that was really the only thing. From a respiratory standpoint, it didn't stop people from getting COVID. And just as a talking point here, I've spent my entire school year in a classroom around COVID and perfectly healthy, good to go this school year. If it's so rampant and so out there still to this day, because there's people that are still like absolutely ridiculous about this, then why have I not gotten it repeatedly while not wearing a mask, and so many other people while not wearing a mask? Almost all of society is not wearing a mask now. And I understand there's different variants now, but how ironic is it that all of us seem to be pretty good here? All of us are living our best lives. But yeah, there's still people that believe that masks actually did something. My other favorite thing, this came up in a text message with a few friends over the weekend. I won't mention their names, but you may know them. Was about the COVID vaccines. How many lives did they save? Can somebody please point me to a study about how necessary the COVID vaccines were for all of society? I'm not talking about the 65-year-olds and older. I'm talking about like the 40-year-olds. How necessary was it to be vaccinated to protect somebody else's life? I'd love to see a study on that, because you know what? They don't exist. They don't exist because it's not something that can be proven. So just as the left would like to say, well, look at this. We got this study here. And I don't even know why vaccine stuff became a right versus left thing. Outside of this, kind of furthers my point of the left is not dealing in sound science at this point in time. The left is dealing in platitudes. They're dealing in talking points. And when confronted with anything else, they go, oh, well, that's not from my approved source. Meanwhile, it's peer reviewed. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of their hypocrisy. I'm absolutely sick of them. Really am. Which led me to the White House. I posted this on my Twitter page yesterday. It's not something that really bothers me. They had a Pride event at the White House, which is fine, well, and good. You know, I didn't get invited to the national, you know, celebrate your local Irish American Day. They didn't invite me to that. But if there was, I would have, you know, partied on the lawn there at the White House. But apparently I missed that invite. I didn't get invited to the Easter celebration either, or the Christmas celebration. So apparently I'm not in any of the groups that allow me to go to the White House to celebrate. But apparently if you're in the Pride thing, then it's a big deal. So much so that they put the Pride flag front and center and put the American flag off to the sides of the Pride flag. Now, if you're somebody that's left-leaning, you might be like, oh, well, you're just a hateful person towards gay people, that you're making this an issue. Nope, that's not what this is about. This is about my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and this is about your grandparents and their great-grandparents. It's about the people that spilled their blood in other countries, sometimes at the cost of death or dismemberment, loss of limbs, fighting for the American flag, and the fact that the flag code states that the American flag is supposed to be larger than the other flags and is supposed to always be front and center. There is complete code to everything about how this is supposed to be displayed. The reason for that is about decorum, tradition, and honoring the people that have died to make sure that you have the freedoms to even have a Pride Day, that we have the freedoms to even have a podcast like this where I can express an opinion. That's right. That flag represents all of it. And apparently to the left, that's too disgusting to them, because you can't have that conversation without being called a bigot by stating that the White House shouldn't have the flag behind or off to the sides of the Pride flag. But that shows everything about the agenda and what's important to the Biden White House. I almost said the Obama White House. Maybe it is the Obama White House still. It's starting to look like it a little bit. I mean, certainly Joe might not be calling the shots anymore. But this is a major, major issue, and I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the disrespect of country. You don't like it, get the hell out of the country. Like, it's a free country. You're welcome to express your views, your opinions, and everything else. But if you're going to go against the traditions, the decorum, it's not about the event that's being held. It's about the simple things. Because here's what it is. There's a band, Van Halen. And David Lee Roth, follow me on this. David Lee Roth used to insist that all the brown M&Ms were taken out of the M&M bowl. And they had in their rider kind of the different waters that needed to be there and all the different counts of everything. And they were doing this because they had a really amazing stage setup. If you watch those 1980s, like the jump video and everything with the pyrotechnics, it's very important that you be right where you need to be. It's very important that the stage was designed properly, the weight could be held and all that stuff. But if they came in and the brown M&Ms were not removed or the M&Ms were not there, they got paid for the concert and they had the right not to perform. And in a couple cases, they did not perform. And the reason wasn't to be snobs about what was on the riders. It's where people kind of get, I think, you know, there's other artists nowadays that make it snobby. But the whole purpose was when you put that level of detail in, if one thing is missing and the brown M&Ms are there, what else did they cut corners on? Was the stage set up properly? Were the pyrotechnics in place or could somebody die or be hurt? That's the problem with what's going on in America right now. The brown M&Ms are simply the decorum and the way that we respect and honor the country and the flag. If you don't have that type of pride, okay, that's on you. That's not on me. But don't shove that down my throat, the fact that you're not happy living in this country. Deal with your own crap. If you can't deal with your own crap, you're delusional too. That's all I got for you today, everybody. It's been a fun, cheery show, as you can hear. I'll get into male loneliness tomorrow a little bit because I think that that's a pandemic or endemic that we're not talking about. That's right, guys, tomorrow's show is going to be for you. We're going to talk about why is it men are so lonely right now. It's not easy being a guy. It really isn't. There's plenty of things that would shame you and tell you it's a horrible thing to be a male here in 2023. And it's been going on for some time. But a lot of it we kind of do to ourselves and the way society beats us down. And I'm going to do that show for everybody tomorrow. All right, everybody. Hope I honored your time well. You can go to AmericaEmboldened.com, help support the show, and I'll be back tomorrow. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.